In Luke 19:41, we've got this passage where the Lord Jesus is coming upon Jerusalem. It's significant because it shows something about Him, just like when He was with Lazarus and He raised him from the dead. And the most unusual thing is how the Lord knows He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and He gets there, and yet He sees Lazarus' loved ones and his friends, and He still cries. It's okay to cry. Matter of fact, you're not going to get very far with the Lord unless you're able to have tears of compassion. That's important. Matter of fact, all of your major prophets, King David, and David was nobody to mess with, you know, this great warrior of God, he would weep about the state of Israel. He would weep about his own condition. And what we have here is the Savior, just like when He was with Lazarus, going to raise him from the dead, He weeps. And when He was come near and He beheld the city, He wept over it. Now, the point of sharing that with you is that it shows the tenderness of His heart. And with everything that the Lord has been through, and the persecution and the mockery and everything that He's been through all those months of His ministry, yet He gets to the city, He knows what's coming on Jerusalem, and He weeps over it. There is something that I want to speak to you about this morning, and it's called compassion. Compassion. And tears are just simply a part of that, of being able to weep over a people, weep over an individual, weep over a church, weep over a land. Being so broken up by it that these tears, they count with God. I've always found it unique that the Lord, we're told in the book of Revelation, takes the tears of His people and He keeps them in a bottle. Right there at the altars of heaven. And that's where the prayers are, the prayers and the tears. And you see, you have to understand, we're soon coming to the day that all those bowls and all those vials are going to be poured out. All those tears and all those prayers, they're all going to be answered. It's coming. But for you and me to have compassion is something you learn. It's something God works in you. And you become tender and you become sensitive to the needs of others, and it breaks you up. And this is important to know. Last night, one of the young men that I was with at this bachelor party, we're having just a tremendous time, we're, you know, laughing and all that, and he begins to share with me after I told him how I had 10 children and some of the things about them. He said, well, I have three. But he said, my boy, he died. And he had a little boy that lived just a few months, and then he died. And as I was sitting there, I don't know if it's because I'm old enough to be a grandpa, and I can see this young man as a son, and you know his son as a grandson, or what. You know, I speak spiritually to you, but it really affected me. And I don't remember what any of the other brothers sitting around there in that house said to him, but I remember I just turned to him. I said, "I'm so sorry about your son." I said, "I'm so sorry about your son." And he teared up, and he looked me dead in the eye, and he said, "Thank you. Thank you." You see, there's something about compassion that the Lord has that the Lord wants us to have and be able to manifest. Jeremiah, who was actually called the weeping prophet, wept over Jerusalem, wept over Israel. And he's pronouncing, God has him pronouncing judgment on it, on the left and on the right and on the left. And he's pronouncing judgment. It's coming. It's coming. You know, they're at the door. They're outside the walls. It's coming. And yet he weeps over the people. A lot of times, I remember as a young man, I remember my old pastor telling us young guys, and there were some 60 ministries that were raised up out of this church. And we went all over the world. I remember him telling us how that one of the most important things that we could as young ministers possess was compassion. And compassion, you see, it possesses knowledge, and it has a sensitivity to it that breaks through with a discernment, if I can say it that way, a judgment. Some translations would give it to you as a judgment, but not in the sense of judgment of condemnation, but of discerning. And you're able to steward this as well, the compassion, because you're able to weep over individuals or weep over a situation. And yet the scripture is very plain about, you know, the weeping will come to an end. You know, it may endure for the night, but in the morning there is the joy, because there is a breakthrough with it. There is a very real breakthrough with it. And so here's Jeremiah. Here's King David. You know, you can read the Psalms about him talking about how that he would weep before the Lord. It's significant that as a young man, my pastor telling us, you know, one of the most important things that we could possess would be compassion. Because a lot of times I can just think of myself, I was headstrong in a lot of ways and wanted to, you know, just bust on through, you know, kind of the bull in the china shop and not very much patience. You know, I wanted to get things done. I wanted to go here, go there. And it affected me, you know, in a negative way toward the people. And yet I had had a prophecy that had said that one of the things the Lord would do through me, and here comes the intention, is that the Lord was going to speak through me, and He was going to bring His love, His grace, and His Spirit, and even healing. And you see, that was God's intention, because at that time as a young man, some 40 years ago, I don't think I had a whole lot of His love, not a whole lot of grace. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I've found that, you know, you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and not manifest much grace and not much love, and there is no healing. And that was me. And so over the years, I went through some processes to make me compassionate, and you will too. This is a breaking process where the Lord breaks you. And the beautiful thing about it is He puts you back together. And when He puts you back together, it's better than when the way you are. But He'll break you. He'll send you through situations to where you've experienced disappointment. Or you yourself messed up, like me. Messed up, you know, with maybe something I did or didn't do or said or didn't say. And it, you know, it brings about a breaking in you, you know, a breaking of your heart, a breaking of your spirit. And the beautiful thing is that the Lord, it says that the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted. He is near to those who are brokenhearted. And to have this toward people who are undeserving is the greatest measure of this compassion. And the Lord is weeping over Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians, Brooklyn is where we want to go, to 2 Corinthians 5. And we're told how that we have the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people back into relationship with God. The most precious thing you can do is bring people back into relationship with God. It was broken, it's been broken in their lives. They don't know the Savior. And even after they come to know the Savior, filled with the Spirit, the way you minister to them, the way you mentor them, the way you reach out to them and draw them in causes them to become more Christ-like, more compassionate, more feeling toward others. And they themselves are able to pass this grace along. And this is the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people back to God and bringing people back to each other. The greatest joy I have, besides bringing people to Christ, is bringing them back together with someone that they're at odds with. And to be a minister of Christ, this is going to become, as they say, one of your MOs, modes of operation, where you bring people back together. And you see, that's going to cost you something, because these people are at odds. And so they're maybe not too excited about being brought back together. They're not so excited about making reconciliation. They're not so excited about having restoration in their lives. And yet they've come to you, or they've let you know about their situation, and they're not just telling you for the information's sake, they're telling you because they believe you can help. And so you'll start to pray for them. You may even skip a meal for them. You'll give them a call. You'll check on them. You'll visit them. You do all these different things in order to build a relationship with them so they can build a relationship with others. And you find out you end up being a bridge. And it's a glorious thing to be a bridge. I mean, you know, you connect two different sides. You're the bridge. The only thing about it is they walk over you in the process of being restored. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. I'm so glad you're so enthusiastic. Glory. I'm just saying, you become the bridge. And it's in the form of a cross. This bridge is in the form of a cross. And you find yourself just becoming the crossbeam, as it were. The Lord is seeking to bring alignment in their lives. Get them back together. And you're the horizontal piece they can walk across. And so this becomes significant in your Christian life. And the more you become Christ-like, the more this becomes evident in your walk. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul starts out, he says in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation." Hallelujah. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You become new in your spirit. You become new in your mind. You become new in your attitudes, in your motives. Everything about you becomes new if you'll let God do the renewal process. It's a regeneration by the Holy Spirit and a renewal of your mind by the Spirit that transforms you and makes you Christ-like. And this is what God is looking for. I'll never forget, I have a friend who was caught up to heaven. He actually stood before the Lord in this vision. It's one of those open eye visions. You know, it's one of those unique ones, you know, where you're looking and there you are. And you'd have to, if I told you this brother is, a lot of you would recognize his name. But anyway, he stood before the Lord and he began to relate to him how many tents he had filled with thousands, how many stadiums he had preached in and had thousands of people. How many, he had raised at least two people from the dead, and all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles. And one meeting alone, he gives an altar call, 30,000 people come and receive Christ. He gives another altar call, 60,000 people come and receive Christ. I mean, okay, so he sees himself relating all this to the Lord, and the Lord does not look impressed at all. And he, in this vision, he says that the Lord just leaned forward on his throne and looked him right in the eye. And he said, "How much of my image do you have in me? Do you have in yourself?" Something like that. "How much of my image do you have in you?" Now just let that compute. What is the Lord looking for? Signs, wonders, miracles, healings, raising the dead. Absolute glory to God. You know what he's looking for? Himself. He's looking for himself in you. So this is this whole thing about become a new creation and old things pass away and all things become new, and you begin to think differently, act differently, because you're Christ-like. And it's the most beautiful thing to meet a person who is Christ-like. Because you know that they're not only going to treat you right, they're going to have compassion and they're going to be kind. So Paul, he goes on about this. He says in verse 18, "Now all things then, all these new things we become, all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Reconciliation is just, you know, putting the relationship back together. And he says, "That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses, their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." So we got the ministry of reconciliation in verse 18. Verse 19, we have the ministry, and then we have the word in verse 19, and then we get down to verse 20, and then we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're all about putting people back together, not splitting them up. Amen. You see, this is the beautiful thing about Genesis and that I love about you folk, is I don't think anybody comes through that door that there won't be a half a dozen of you gather around them, or at least say hello as they make their way in. That's compassion. Some of them, it's first visit. Sometimes they don't know nobody here. And here they come. And you're reaching out to them. You're doing something for them beyond themselves. And to win them, you have to realize that you have this ministry. It's not just apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. You have this ministry of reconciliation. And you have the word of reconciliation. And you are an ambassador of the Most High God. And you're saying, be reconciled to God. And that starts the process. You see, what you look for when you're dealing with people, Brooklyn, here we go. Give me the number one of the four knots. What you start to do is you look for the knots in people. Not K-N-O-T-S, but the N-O-T-S. You look for the knots in people. And you listen for the four knots when you're talking to somebody, when you're inviting them to church, when you're ministering to them down at the JC or the Walmart or whatever. You're listening for the knots. You see, the first knot, Brooklyn, number one, the first knot is you're going to hear them say, you know, things just are not going well. And you're going to pick up on that right away. You're going to, oh. See, God, what God's doing, He's giving you, here's an opportunity, here's a door. Things aren't going well. Well, what's not going well? And that leads into the conversation. That leads into the opening for you to minister to them, to speak to them, to pray for them. And you pick up on these things. The greatest thing you learn to do is listen for the knots. This is significant because you're going to be like Daniel. And Daniel said that you not only would you know your God and do exploits, be strong and do exploits, but what would happen is that he was a dissolver of knots. You ever read the King James translation or the literal Hebrew? It's that he was a dissolver of knots. K-N-O-T-S. Daniel was able to take the most difficult, twisted, convoluted questions, experiences, and perplexities, and he was able to unravel them. Do you know that this is what God wants to do with you? Do you know that with God there is no confusion? And there is no confusion, and there is no confusion. And there is also no delusion. So there's no confusion with God. And the more you become Christ-like, the less confusion goes out of your life. More and more, you're free from confusion. There is no delusion. And you're able to help people out of their confusion because you can dissolve knots. The Holy Spirit is upon you. He gives you wisdom. He gives you understanding. He anoints you. You have this anointing from the Holy One. And listen, that's something precious because, you know, you can squander that. You can squander that anointing. It's precious. It's this holy anointing oil. It's something very precious, and you want to keep it. You want to nurture that. You want that anointing to increase in your life as you go along. And so the first thing you're going to do is you're going to be listening for when people say things aren't going well. You know, whether, you know, something with the finances or, you know, maybe with the kids or it's the marriage. You know, it can be any of 10,000 things, but you pick up on it, and then you can help them. You see, and it makes all the difference. The second knot you're going to listen for is you'll hear them say, you know, I'm just not prepared for this. That's why you have to be. Glory to God. That's why you have to be prepared. That's why you got to be prepared. Because they're not. And you're going to help them through this situation because of the wisdom that God gives you. Because you're in the Word, you're of the Spirit. You're being still before God, knowing He's God. You're growing in grace. You're growing in the knowledge of the Savior. And so you're prepared. You're prepared because they're not. So they're not prepared to deal with another child. They're not prepared to deal with the loss of the job. Someone they love walked out on them. They're not, you know, they're just not prepared for that. But you're prepared, and so you're going to help them. You're going to minister to them. You're going to be led of the Spirit. And so you see, in this reconciliation thing that we're a part of, you see, this is a thing where you're listening and you're learning and you're growing. And I'm always asking the Lord, help me to listen. Lord, give me the skill, the art, the qualifier, as it were, to hear what people are really saying when they say something. And then I can minister to them as you lead me, Lord. And so you listen for this knot. You know, I'm just not prepared for this. Thurgood Brooklyn is this. Well, I'm not from around here. Glory to God. They're not from Jackson County. You know, they're not from the city of God, Seymour. They're not around. So you know what that we know what that is for you? That what can I show you around? And can I show you some, you know, where you can shop or bank, or can I show you where to go to church? You know, there are just all kinds of opportunities here. And you pick up on that. And so, well, you know, have you ever tried this mechanic over here? Or how about this store over here? And you can tell them. And you pick up on, what are you doing? You're building a relationship with them. I have to be honest with you. When I do this with people, I have an ulterior motive. I'm trying to build a relationship with them. Show them somebody really cares for them. Brand new to the community. Haven't been around here. So, come on in. The water's fine. Now listen, you got to pick up on this. See, you got to start listening for these things. See? Ministry of Reconciliation. And then you come to number four. And number four is this one. I'm not going to church anywhere. And what we mean by that, we're not talking to people who are going to church and you try to talk them out of it, where they're going. Don't do that. Right. Holy Spirit isn't allowing you to do that.
Right.
But if they're unconnected, if they're not connected, the unconnected, the not connected, that's who we're after. Okay? I've found the Holy Spirit will connect you with people who aren't connected. You're connected, and because you're connected, you can flow and you can minister to people who are unconnected. And the unconnected people don't know they're unconnected. And so what you do is you bring the closure. You show them, here's the connection. Here's what's missing in your life. And you begin to minister that to them by the Spirit. And it goes beyond yourself. This is the beautiful thing. I love when the Lord does it. It goes beyond yourself. And you begin to share things that you're not really thinking about, but because you're prepared, because you've been with the Lord, because you have the Holy Spirit, because you know the book, it just flows out and brings life. And it connects them. And what you learn to do, you learn to who to connect with and who not to. Because God's not going to have you connect with everybody, because you're not omnipresent.
Right.
You're not omnipotent. You're not omnisapient. Big words. Omni, all powerful, all wise, all knowing, all powerful. That is not me, and that's not you. So God's not going to have you connect with everybody, because He's going to have them over here connect with them. And you can't connect with everybody. So they're going to connect with them,
right.
You see? And it's this beautiful give and take. It's this beautiful give and take. And this is the beautiful thing about the body of Christ. Each of us doing our thing is a full revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's right. Yes.
When everyone in the church is ministering, flowing in what God has called them to be and to do, there is a revelation of Jesus Christ that is never there in one single individual.
Right.
I've met some powerful individuals, tremendously gifted individuals. Matter of fact, I wished I was as gifted as some of them with the height of their gifting and all that. And I believe it's coming. But listen, I'm not kidding myself either. I know where I'm at. But I know that when we get together, there's all the gifts. There is the fullness of Christ right there. And He can be glorified. And He can minister in this setting and in a way He can't just with an individual.
Right.
And what it does, it pulls people in to the realization of how great the Lord Jesus really is, how much He loves them, how much He cares for them. You know, the thing that so captured my heart last night here, I was the senior fellow last night at this bachelor party. Yeah, we were cutting her loose, you know, with prayer around the table and eating steak, and then we had communion. different kind of get bachelor party. But I was the older guy. So, you know, they said, Pastor Jeff, what's the, you know, they found out, you know, some of them, they didn't know me, so they met me for the first time. They just said, how long you been in ministry? I said, 40-some years. And they said, well, what's the greatest miracle you've ever seen? And of course, they meant besides, you know, saving someone, I said, it has to be opening, you know, that creating that eyeball on that woman there in the Ukraine. You know, when I was there in Poltava and helping Alexei start that church. And I said, it had to be that, you know, when God created that eyeball in her head. And, you know, and he said, oh, tell us that story. So, you know, you begin to tell that story. And you know, those young guys, you know, they're just kind of drawn in. You can kind of see their eyes begin to twinkle and brighten. Like, that, I can do that? I can do that? Yeah, you can do that. By the power of the Holy Ghost. If Jesus wants to, he will. Because I just remember just saying, I'm going to put my hand through the interpreter. I'm going to put my hand over your eye. I'm going to pray in Jesus' name, and your eyes are going to be restored. And I took it away, and this instead of this white, dead eyeball looking at me, there was an eyeball looking at me. And it, we were on in this great hall, and there was like a theater, and there was this great curtain behind us, hung from the wall, you know, from the ceiling down, and real ornate. And I just said, cover the other eye, you know, the eye that wasn't created right there at that moment. I said, cover that. She covered it, you know. I said, tell me what you see in that curtain. And these little bitty details she began to describe. Of course, this is going out, you know, all these people sitting out there, you know. And then I turned her around, and through the interpreter I said, you see those individuals, men standing way back here against that wall? I said, describe them for us. She began to, you know, describe them. And then I just preached the gospel a little bit. I just told them the good news a little bit. Jesus has come to heal and save and deliver. And I said, he's here today. And here they came. Folks, here they came. Glory to God. And the greatest blessing that I had for me personally was seeing all of those old Bolshevik Red Army, Lenin Red Army soldiers line up. These guys were old men. And they had medals all up and down their chest. You know, they had fought with Lenin back in 1917, okay? I mean, these guys were old. And there must have been, without exaggerating, I'm going to say 40 to 50 of them. They just lined up across. And when they came forward, everybody else kind of, you know, just stepped back. And they just lined up the front. And I led them, had the joy of leading them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then everyone else did. And the church grew. And so when I left there, you know, and took that 17-hour train trip back to Kiev, you know, it was a thing of joy. And, you know, besides beating the roaches, you know, everywhere that were everywhere, I had the joy of just thinking on what God had done in that place and that this is the will of God for our lives. Bringing people back to God. Bringing people back to each other. I want to encourage you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, step this up in your life. So what Adam did, and this Adam in sharing this testimony about helping this guy, that's what we're talking about. It's not anything too fantastic in the sense of grandeur. It's just right there, showing compassion, having love, ministering to them, making a difference. Isn't that right, Noah? Here. Noah, come up here. He likes my preaching. You hear him laughing? Glory to God. He likes it. So, Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your presence this morning. And, Father, I am asking for a fresh anointing upon your people, a fresh revelation of reconciliation, a fresh revelation, Father, of reconciliation, of having compassion, and being able to weep over those, Father, who are broken. Weep over those who even reject your word. Weep over those, Father, who turn away from what would be so fantastic for them, Father, to move them on in the spiritual journey. And, Father, you would give us a tender heart, a supple heart, a broken heart. Father, you say in your word, you do not despise the broken in heart. So, Father, we're asking this morning, Father, for a fresh revelation of what it means to bring people together in love with You and in love with each other. We ask it in Jesus' name. This week, every one of you are going to meet somebody who's got a knot. They got a knot in their life. And you want to just say, Lord, make me like Daniel.
Yeah.
I can just dissolve knots. But listen, train your ear to pick up on those four things.
Hallelujah.
Listen for it. It comes in different forms, but listen for it. And then minister to them. So, hallelujah. With that, Jonathan, escort your bride up here. Savannah. She didn't want me to embarrass her or anything this morning, so I'm not. I'm not going to embarrass her. But we love her so much, we want to pray for her. We want her to feel right. Amen. We want her to feel good. Amen. Give me your hands. Come on. All right, you ready?
Don't look at me.
Come on. You ready, sweetheart? You ready? You ready? Okay. Because we believe this. Amen. So come, stand up with me. Stand up. Stand up. So, Father in heaven, in the mighty name of Jesus, this cherished girl, we just want to thank You for Your Spirit resting upon her. We want to thank You, Father, that the days ahead are going to be the most glorious in her life. That, Father, what You start, You also finish. That this is the confidence that we have in Him, that He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the very day of Jesus Christ. And the Lord is coming soon, and the Lord is stirring your heart. He's stirring your heart. So your physical heart must be strong, and it must be everything that God wants it to be physically, spiritually, emotionally. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak healing, blessing, strength, peace. In the mighty name of Jesus. And quit stressing. Quit stressing. No, seriously, dear sister, I'm telling you, I sense this. Quit stressing. If you need to put some of the irons away and get out of some stuff, then do it. To focus on what Christ really has called you to do and to be. And quit stressing. So, Father, we speak this blessing to her. We thank You in Jesus' name for her wholeness, her wellness, and shalom. Peace over you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You want to get tissues? Get tissue, man. Get tissue. Yeah. Glory. Well, it's all good. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Well, Father, Your people, they are a cherished bunch. Calls Genesis to arise and offer people, Father, a new beginning on a firm foundation. Let them put down roots and bring up fruit. Let them, Father, bring forth fruit that will remain, that glorifies You and demonstrates the disciple that they are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Go and have peace. Have a great week. Hallelujah. Men, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in the park.
Amen.
Weather permitting, if it's cold, freezing, snowing, anything like that, we go to Chess's house. All right. Glory to God. All right. Keep an eye on the sky. 7 o'clock otherwise. All right. God bless you, guys. God bless you, gals. Love you. Amen.
When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart,
give that woman a hug.
I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. Well, I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. favorite days. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. Well, I will dance like David danced. I will dance like David danced.